Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be good. I got the movie, got the popcorn. I am ready to go.
Hey, Cecilia.
Oh, hi, Pastor Dave.
What you up to?
I'm about to listen to one of my favorite videos.
Oh, what's that?
Quest for Camelot.
Yes,
a King Arthur story. Kind of a children's fairy tale, but I like it anyway.
Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because today in the Bible study, we're going to be talking about the next petition, Thy Kingdom Come.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see King Arthur. Is this descriptive video?
Actually, it is, yeah.
Hey. Well, let's take a listen to it. Let's give it a try.
The Magic Sword, Quest for Camelot. A fun, frenetic, animated tale following the adventures of a young girl who embarks on a mission to reclaim the magical sword Excalibur. Climbing high and over the rocks to reveal the landscape. A dirt track coast road, and then a father, Sir Lionel, mother, Lady Juliana, and their daughter, Kaylee, are all on horseback. It is a very long time ago, in an age of brave knights and mythical creatures. The family look for a place to rest on the beach. Sir Lionel and his daughter roll down the sandy hill together.
Father, do you really have to go?
I'm afraid I must, Kaylee. You know the king's knights will be here soon.
Tell me again why you became a knight.
Kaylee, you've heard it 1,000 times.
Oh, but it's fine, dear. Well, my daughter, before you were born, the land was dark and treacherous.
In the sand we see the past.
The people stood divided, brother fighting brother. The only hope for peace was in the legend of the sword Excalibur. For it was said that only the true king could pull this magical sword from its stone and unite the people. Many tried. All failed. Then, on the very day that you were born, an unexpected hero stepped forth. His name was Arthur. And he was that true king. With Excalibur at his side, he led us out of the darkness. And together, we built the greatest kingdom on earth. Everyone rejoiced.
The townspeople are happy and dance together. There is much merriment and happiness. The people of Camelot are as one. They dance together, forming 3 great circles, weaving in and out of each other in time and in harmony.
Camelot!
And so these 3 rings represent the unity of our kingdom. As a knight, I took an oath to protect Camelot, King Arthur, and Excalibur.
The knights are here!
I must go now, Kaylee. The king has summoned his knights for a special day in Camelot. Goodbye.
I'm coming with you, Daddy.
Yes, when you're old enough, Kaylee. I will take you to Camelot, I promise. I love you.
One day, I will be a knight, like Father.
Let's go.
And so begins the story. The Magic Sword, Quest for Camelot.
I sometimes wish we could live with a king, like King Arthur was, or some of the other
really?
Good kings I've read about. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Oh, well, life would be so much simpler with a king in charge. I mean,
you think so?
Not all the slowness and ponderousness of government as it is now.
Well, I'd like you to read a section in the Bible that talks about a king, if you would. 1 Samuel, because that's what the people back then said. 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you can turn to that. Okay. Now, for 400 years after God brought the Israelites out of Egypt in slavery, they had judges, just little rulers, and a judge was a ruler or a small little savior. But the people were saying, we want a king, just like you were saying. And like you read chapter 8, and I think it starts at verse 6, if you would, please, and read there to about verse 20.
Okay. But when the people said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. Then the Lord told him,
listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have come from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do.
Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. That's not what a king is supposed to be. Look, King David was a good king.
Yeah, but he had to raise an army, and he grabbed people, he took land. I mean, a king can do what he wants. That's the whole point of being a king in the kingdom. And everybody else is the subjects. And when it's not good, they are slaves.
True.
What do you think the people of Jesus' day, when they heard kingdom, what did they think of?
They probably thought of the Romans. They were under the Roman thumb at the time, and they were slaves. So
an oppressive kingdom, they thought.
Yeah, I guess so.
Shove them out so we can have a glorious kingdom where we're free again and make everyone subject to us.
I guess so.
How about in Martin Luther's day, 16th century?
Well, as I think about it, they were, some of the world was under a different version of the Romans.
The Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And some of them at Martin Luther's time were under Queen Elizabeth, so there were some good kingdoms and some not so good kingdoms.
But again, everybody had to bow to the whims of whatever the king said. That's really what the king is. And how about today when you think of what is a king and a kingdom?
I think I'm going to need a minute to think about that.
So, have you had enough time to think about it?
Yeah. Here in the United States, we see a king or a kingdom as one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
Either a fairy tale, romantic and glorious, kind of like the movie that I was watching at the beginning of the show.
Oh, with King Arthur, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or as a figurehead, like the Queen of England, who is a little involved with government, but mostly involved with charity and being a figurehead to the people.
Especially us in this, what we are in is a democracy, a republic, where there's people voted. I think you're right. Both are good examples. Now, technically, there are a few kingdoms still in the world where the king reigns supreme, just as he did in David's day. But by and large, they're different. They've modified. Yeah. Okay. Well, what about Christians then? Let's move this finally to the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. when we're praying, Thy kingdom come. Dear Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Thy kingdom come. What do Christians think of when they hear those words?
I did some chit-chat with some people.
Ah.
And it's interesting. Some say that the kingdom of God will be in heaven, and we will all be united, and it will be wonderful there, but that it's going to be in heaven only. And some say it's here on earth. Some say something about when Jesus comes, and I don't know. It's all over the place.
Yeah. So why don't we take a look at some of these kingdom verses and see if we can make some conclusions?
Yeah.
Well, I did some looking in the Bible and a couple reference books also, and find there's several key elements or thoughts or types of kingdoms. The first one here we have is, you might say, that God's power is mighty power of the universe.
Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
We also find the word kingdom used in reference to Jesus' authority with Christians.
Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Another verse that gives even greater visualization of a kingdom is the following.
Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So this kingdom is the kingdom of grace.
Most merciful God, I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what I have done, and by what I have left undone.
In the mercy of Almighty God, he has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, it is my privilege to announce this grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
And finally, one more kingdom. It's one that we are not in right now, but one that we await, that of heaven.
Philippians 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ.
In fact, we have a wonderful description of this kingdom that awaits us, we call heaven, given to us by the Apostle John.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away, 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 away. Learned about the three kingdoms, and we pray, Thy kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't we be praying, Thy kingdoms come?
Yeah, that's cute. I like that. No, it is actually God's kingdom. He has one kingdom, and it is supreme. Question, I suppose you might say, which one of these three are we praying for? And the answer is yes. Certainly, God rules the universe. We're not really praying for that one, although mm-hmm. we may be praying that we acknowledge it to be his in our lives. Second, we are praying for God's rule of grace in our lives.
Oh, sure.
And this is one reason we do encourage people to go to church. And the reason to go to church is not to be involved, at this moment at least, with this prayer, mm-hmm. but instead to hear from God. And it's nice to hear from somebody else that it's external. It's not part of you.
You know, people, when I say to Pastor Dave, gosh, I didn't know that, he's had some more teaching than I have. He's had some more learning. And the same is true with many, many other pastors.
Most pastors. I'm going to go with most.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most.
Yep.
They know a lot more than we know.
And they take time and effort to be praying to God, asking for guidance, so that what that person says on that day is really what God wants to be said. Now, there's some exceptions, I know, but generally speaking, a pastor who's doing his job right, who's seeking the Lord, you will know them, and that's what they're about. And so we certainly are praying that God's kingdom, His rule of grace, be in our lives, that we understand that forgiveness and love even more, because that's what's going to free us from the burdens we carry, not just guilt, but then the other difficulties we have. We can be free from them too. And of course, we are praying, Lord, Your kingdom come. Let heaven be here now. Because it is a world that has a lot of hardship and pain. There's no doubt about that.
Sometimes I get such a longing for heaven that I just want to be there in that wonderful, perfect place.
And you wish you were no longer here. Paul did the same. It's okay. That is an okay prayer, because our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there's one last thing about this prayer, Thy kingdom come, because it flows right into Thy will be done. A lot of it is we want God's will, God's part to be in our lives, not just His rule of grace and love, but then His participation in our lives, that it's His. Here, I know this guy. And what should I give him a name? How about Bert? That's not his name.
Okay.
So Bert, he really is a Christian, sincere. He wants God, but he's always trying to do it himself. I'm going to find God, and I'm going to put Him into my life. And now that I've done that, now I'm going to go off, and I'll clean my car, and then I'll go earn some money, and then I'll go. It's always I. And I think Bert is missing the kingdom, because he is always trying to fit God into his life rather than letting God be his entire life. And that's part of what this kingdom coming is about as we pray. And we'll flow into that next week also when we pray and talk about Thy will be done. Please join us next week if you would.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to join us sooner than that, you can always write to us.
You can do so at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone.net. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Northern Lights Sounds, from the YouTube channel TLS Cinema. Worship at Congregation Chai V'Shalom in St. Louis, Missouri. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn.